All right, my guest, Stephanie Phillips here. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Aaron. Morning, listeners.
How are we doing this morning?
Doing sensational.
Oh, crikey.
You want some of what I'm having?
I don't know if I can handle it. So Stephanie Phillips is a neuro-linguistic programming trainer and practitioner, but also a coach, life coach.
Yeah.
That'd be a better way to put it. And we talk Inside Your Minds, which is actually the name of your business, but I copied it for our segment because it seemed pretty much what we're on about.
Yeah, that's why I chose it as a business.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. So, but we shouldn't be afraid about Inside Your Mind, should we? This is not what you're trying to do.
No, it's about understanding our own mind, you know, what's in our own mind so that we can change anything that's not working for us, so we can live our best lives, basically, in a nutshell.
Mm. And what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about mindset, like fixed mindset versus a growth mindset.
And I did jokingly ask you if you'd run into a few people who had fixed mindsets lately, and that's got you thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so. I think people can have fixed mindsets in certain aspects or certain contexts. You know, they might be very flexible in some areas of life and might be more fixed in others. But it's come from Carol Dweck, who kind of looked at these different mindsets that people have and come up with this idea of a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. And the idea is how our beliefs and abilities can influence our success and our personal development in life. So I thought we might look at some different aspects of that, and then people can, as I'm going through, can say, oh, yeah, well, I might be a bit fixed there, or I might have a growth mindset there and that kind of thing. So first of all, a definition of a fixed mindset is individuals with a fixed mindset believe that their abilities, intelligence and talents are innate and unchangeable. So that means that, you know, like, well, I was born with this and I'm always going to be the same and I'm never going to change. So if you don't like it, you can lump it, kind of thing. Right?
Yeah. How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, that's right. And if people don't like me, well, they can just move along and that's it. You know, that's a kind of fixed mindset. Whereas a growth mindset, more definition of that is individuals with a growth mindset believe that their abilities and intelligence can be developed through dedication, effort and learning. So this is basically the plastic brain that we talk about, you know, that your mind is ever expanding. They used to think years and years ago that you had, you know, a fixed number of brain cells and that, you know, they'd start to die off after a certain amount of time. We're not realising that our brain is plastic and amenable and changeable, and the more we learn, the more it changes and the more adaptable we become.
It's not purely about the number of brain cells, it's about the connections in the brain.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the definition. And then, so characteristics then is somebody who has a fixed mindset, they tend to avoid challenges. You know, they fear failure and then believe that it reflects poorly on their inherent ability. So you could almost say that that's kind of ego-driven as well. You know, they don't want to make a fool of themselves by trying something new and, you know, having it fail or something like that.
But that's pretty common, not to want to make a fool of yourself. Do you like to make a fool of yourself?
Oh, I'm always making a fool of myself. It seems to be par for the course.
I think I've asked the wrong person.
It's like, well, yeah, and I think for me, it's like making a fool of myself. It's like, who says that I'm a fool? You know, is it just me saying that? Because if it's just me, then I've learned. It's like it's a learning experience. So if I make a fool of myself or do something stupid, which, you know, so par for the course. So people who have a growth mindset, they look at embracing challenges and seeing them as opportunities to grow and learn. So one of the principles of NLP is there's no failure, only feedback.
So when you say NLP, you mean neuro-linguistic programming?
Yes. Neuro-linguistic programming. So there's no failure, only feedback is one of the beliefs, if you like. And it's so if I was to believe that I made a mistake then and label that as failure, then I wouldn't ever try it again. But if I go, oh, well, I made a mistake there and I didn't do that quite right, what do I need to do to adjust so I can be successful? So then I'm learning, I'm applying my learning to figure out what I can do differently, and then I might try it again, whatever it is, and still not work. And instead of just going, giving up and going, well, I failed at that, which, you know, never happens as children. You watch children trying to learn to walk, you know, and then they fall into fall over the coffee table, they bang their head, they fall on the bum, and they never stop. They just keep going until they can walk.
At that age, they're like that.
Yeah, but, exactly. And when they go to school, then they start unlearning some of that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to bring up, because the constant testing that I don't think teachers are particularly interested in testing. No. See, the word test is interesting, because a test is like, test your knowledge so you can learn, find out what you need to learn.
Yeah.
But it's become, test your knowledge so we can rank you and give you... and
to see how good you are at remembering to
see if you're
stuff.
See if you're any good.
Yeah.
And it becomes more of not a life sentence, but yeah, less about what the word test really means. But that a lot of people are, I think, learning from that they shouldn't try new things because they're just going to fail all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is as well, with that word test, you know, like when I'm training NLP practitioners, you know, I'll say to them, there is a test at the beginning of the second block, and I'm going to give you that because that's the requirement for the NLP Association, but also it's because it's very practical that they have to know so we can move on and learn other stuff. And people freak out because they've had such bad experiences at school of tests.
Yeah.
So I give them, and they have the test in advance, so they know what's coming in the test, and they can learn everything they need to know to be able to answer the questions in the next month when they come back or whatever.
It's like a trauma response that you're describing.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
And how on earth we think that that's going to help people learn?
Exactly. Well, usually it's learning facts or learning things that you're never going to use again after you've left school, you know.
No, when your kids... then 30 years later, go through the same exams. That's what I found.
Is that right? They're still teaching the same stuff.
Well, yeah, I had to try and relearn things to help them with it, as it was very difficult. Yeah.
So other characteristics then of the fixed mindset is give up easily. So they might give up when faced with obstacles, seeing any effort as fruitless. You know, it's like, what's the point? You know, I can't do it, so that's the end of that.
Yeah, and better to choose not to try than to try and fail.
At least
you're in control.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are for a while. Yeah. Whereas the growth mindset embrace challenges, they're more likely to see them as opportunities to learn and grow. So they'll take, you know, I'm like that, I'll go, oh, that's interesting, you know. I mean, within a certain parameter, like if somebody said, do you want to learn how to fix your car engine? I'd be like, no, well, we don't want to do that, right? But yeah. Whereas somebody else would go, oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic. So, you know, it's usually an interest in it, and then it's like, well, yeah, I'll be interested in that. I mean, I got up yesterday, I think, Sunday evening, and there was something in my email, and it said, oh, there's this seminar on, and I thought, I wonder what the time is, I wouldn't mind doing that. And so I clicked on the link and translated the time from American time, and it was 6:15 on Sunday night, and this was at 6:12. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. I'll run for that. Right. So I spent the next hour from 6:15 to 7:15 on a webinar, you know.
Just like that, yeah. Yeah.
So the other thing then with a fixed mindset is people tend to ignore feedback. They take constructive criticism as a personal attack.
Mm.
And get, you know, then of course they'll get defensive or sulk, which is another form of defensive. Whereas with a growth mindset, people can persist in the face of setbacks. They just persist through difficulties, viewing effort as necessary to achieve mastery. You know, so because you just, when you're learning something, it's like if you were learning to play. I mean, there is a... I think it was in a book called, I think it was Switch, I think it was. I'm not sure, though, so don't quote me on that, where there was a girl learning to play the violin and she made a mistake, and so she's learning, and so she'd just go back and just correct that bit that she'd made the mistake rather than playing the whole thing again and again and again. And that
that's a thing that we do in our culture, isn't it? Oh, I made a mistake, I'll have to go back to the start.
Yeah, and now it's just fixing the bit that you got wrong. So what happens then is that you wrap the neurons in myelin, which is the hormone that helps you to remember things.
Yeah.
But if you just keep playing the whole thing and you keep making the same mistake, then you're not really learning anything. So you don't have to repeat the whole lot. You just repeat the bit that you got wrong until you get it right.
Imagine what our culture would be like if everyone was not fearful of learning, or fearful of making mistakes, which impedes the learning. Like I was talking about people who didn't do well at school, but I did well at school, but I still didn't want to try new things because I had to be able to do them well.
Right.
If I couldn't do it well right away, I didn't want to know about it when I was a kid, a teenager.
And if we instill in children, you know, well, you don't have to be good at everything. You can just try, you know. Because sometimes you try things and you think, oh, I don't really like this. It's not because you can't do it necessarily. It's just that it doesn't appeal to you. We're all different, you know.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm not interested in car engines, you know.
Yeah, crazy.
I know, crazy woman. So then... the other thing then, with people who have a fixed mindset, they tend to be threatened by other people's success. You know, they see it as a reflection of their own inadequacies.
Mm.
You're looking very thoughtful. Aaron's looking very thoughtful now.
It's a bit depressing about the state of our culture, because some people, you might see this as a criticism of a type of person, but we're creating, I think we're doing our best to create people who have fixed mindsets by making learning a frightening thing and testing them and all that.
Right. Well, I tend to agree with you,
I mean, I wonder how our culture would be if we didn't. Well, in fact, I know, because I know a lot of homeschooled kids who are now at the early stages of adulthood, and they're devouring life and devouring the chance to learn things.
Well, kids do, you know. You just look at toddlers and that, and they're learning everything. I mean,
Look at what we like. Yeah, look at what we like naturally when we're born, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't set tests for them either. We don't say, oh, you only walked three steps
right,
today and that's not good enough. Next week I want to see better. That would be nuts, right?
Exactly.
Or the baby's going goo goo gaga and we don't. Oh, my God, what the...
What are you talking about?
Those are not even real words.
Can you not say mommy and daddy, you know?
Yeah, those are not real words. You've really got to improve. Like, it's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but what they're actually doing...
Then you get to five and it all changes.
But by five, they've learned a foreign language.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, little babies.
I used to live in France, and I had a two-and-a-half-year-old that was fluent in English and French.
Yeah, when I say foreign language, I mean to a baby, every language is foreign, right?
Yeah.
So
my nephew's German, and he speaks German and English fluently from two.
Yeah, because it's just there, and they learn so easily, and their kids are learning machines.
Yeah, and really, we can be as adults if we didn't have all these beliefs that come about from, you know, poor learning experiences.
Yeah,
and then become having a fixed mindset. Children don't have babies don't have a fixed mindset. You know, it's only later on that we get this. You know?
That's the definition of what a baby is not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, for people with a growth mindset, they're inspired by other people's success. Mm. Like another thing with neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, is the principle that if somebody can do something, then other people can do it as well.
Right. Simple as that.
Simple as that. It's like, it's like if that person can do it, then I can too.
So those two guys who started neuro-linguistic programming, they really had a growth mindset.
Yeah, well, what they did is, you know, at the time people were looking at different kinds of therapy and basically how people tied themselves in knots and ended up in mental asylums, because that's what they had in those days, in the 70s, in mid-70s, not that long ago, really.
No, I was around then.
And so they went, well, why don't we study people who are successful and figure out what they do? You know, like, how do people overcome... phobias, you know, how do people get through years of trauma? Some of them live happy lives and others are permanently traumatized. Why don't we find out by what they call modeling them, finding out, basically it's quite an extensive process, what they think, how they behave, you know, and all this kind of thing, and then see if we can do it ourselves and then teach it to other people.
It's such a big light bulb moment in the history of the culture that they were from the UK.
No, from America.
From America.
Mm.
So, I mean, same, generally Western culture. Like, up until that point, you know, we'd been analysing how people went wrong, getting all the details about how it went wrong.
Yeah.
It's like they just leapt over that and went, okay, let's get straight to the bit about how we get it right.
Yeah.
Or how we improve.
Yeah, and in really interesting stuff in the stuff that they modelled, you know, and then it's like, well, let's see if we can do it ourselves now. And then if they could do it themselves, well, let's try teaching it to other people. And see if you can have the same effect, you know. So it's pretty amazing. But they wouldn't have been able to do that with a fixed mindset. In fact, often they were teaching people with a fixed mindset. So that you know, I was working on a course with Richard Bandler, who's one of the co-developers, and he said when they first started, they would be teaching psychiatrists and psychologists.
Oh.
Yeah, and he said they knew that if they went in there and just said, oh, you know, we've developed all these, you know, things, the people would be just going, well, what the hell are you talking about? Who are you? You know, clear off.
What's your qualification? Yeah.
So they'd go in and say, oh, you know, we're going to teach you this stuff. It's complete rubbish. Or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So that they could get past that fixed mindset and actually show them what they'd done and the effects of it and get people up on stage that they would, you know, cure. So it could be maybe that they had a phobia and they'd do a live demonstration of how to get rid of a phobia instead of having, you know, like desensitization programs which went on for ages and never worked and cost people heaps of money.
Desensitization, yeah. What, where you were confronted with the thing you were scared of and got used to it?
No, well, yeah, but a desensitization program, like if you had a phobia of spiders, they'd just get a spider and, you know, move it closer and closer to you or whatever it was, or flying phobia or whatever it was, whereas that's the desensitization. But NLP has a phobia cure,
yeah,
which only takes about 10 minutes to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, and then they'd see
and
the
results. And I know that you've had success with that. You had a testimony from Jeremy,
who used
to have a terrible fear of public speaking. I remember seeing him public speaking, seeing that he was really nervous, but then gone.
Yeah.
No more problem.
Was shaking to the point of physically shaking and. And now he's gone. Now he's presenting to hundreds of people at a time and winning all these awards.
Is that right? I haven't heard that end of the story.
He's winning awards. This business is winning awards for all sorts of things. I think about three over the last 3 years. And so he has to give presentations, thank you speeches and things to
he's probably loving
400 or 500 people. He said he is, yeah.
After years of not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
So he, you know, that's an example. So, you know, to get over their mindset, I'm not saying psychiatrists and psychologists all have a fixed mindset, but I think we can all have a fixed mindset in some context or some situations, you know.
Well, I mean,
for these people, it was like, okay, they might have a fixed mindset, these two up and coming, you know, or little upstarts coming along and trying to tell us what to do. Who do they think they are? And they had to get past that in order to get their minds open to teach them what they were going to teach them.
Well, most of them had done at minimum three, probably five or even more years of study.
Oh, yeah.
So the message behind that is you're the person that knows all this stuff.
Yeah.
You just went through this huge thing.
Yeah.
And we gave you a big prize at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it's not surprising that they wouldn't pay much attention to someone
exactly.
who didn't have that. Yeah.
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 Yeah, you've got to be really open-minded to kind of get past that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could be very open-minded in other areas, but they knew from experience that that wasn't going to work if they just went on stage and said, this is what we're going to teach you. So they had to kind of pre-frame out the idea that, you know, they could learn something from this by saying, you know, it's just a load of rubbish, but, you know, let's see what happens kind of thing.
Yes, just have a go.
So anyway, back to fixed and growth mindset. So looking at different aspects of that then. So a fixed mindset in response to failure, that they'd see it as a reflection of their unchangeable abilities.
Right.
And so they'd avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Whereas the growth mindset, it's just an opportunity to learn and a stepping stone to improving.
Does this also happen as you get older?
What?
You've become more of a fixed mindset as people get older. Is that a bit of a trend?
Oh, not sure. I think it probably depends on how much people learn. I mean, as I said in NLP, I'm always people say, like the people on the course, I'll say to them, you know, they go, oh mate, they're doing an exercise, right? And then they'll make a mistake, and then they'll stop beating themselves up. And I'll say, excuse me, how many times have you done this exercise before today? And they go, well, I haven't. And I go, okay. And they go, no, okay. Right. And that happens all the way through practitioner training. I must say probably 10 times a day. Every time they're doing exercise, somebody will come back and go, I made a mistake. And I go, okay, how many times have you done it before today? And it's like, never. Right.
They probably think you're going
to go, is it okay to give yourself a break then, you know, because you're just learning, right?
They're probably worried you're going to go, get out. Don't come back to my course. Yeah, I mean, that's like the fear behind it, isn't it? Like something like that's going to happen.
I mean, I encourage people that are listening, you know, if they're doing something, rather than saying, oh, you know, whatever they say to themselves at the moment, to say, you know, okay, how many times have I done it before today? And even if it's six, it's like, well, so what? You know, like, I don't know, what's his name, Edison? He apparently had 10,000 goes at trying to get the light bulb to light. And people said, didn't you feel like a failure? And he said, no, I just had 9,999 ways that it didn't work. But if he'd given up, we'd all be sitting in the dark, you know. Until somebody else came along.
He certainly wouldn't have been the name we'd talk about.
No, exactly, exactly. So then approach to learning itself, fixed mindset may avoid new learning opportunities because they don't want to look incompetent.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And a growth mindset, seek out new learning opportunities to expand the knowledge and skills. And then, so this is interesting, with effort and persistence. A fixed mindset believes that if you have to work hard, it means you lack talent. So that's like an innate talent, whereas the growth mindset understands that effort is crucial for development and improvement. And so, you know, often people will encourage children when they've done something great, but they won't encourage them for trying something and persisting with something, you know, like you've got to do, it depends on what it is, but you've got to do something more than twice to get good at it, you know. You have to, well, you used to coach football, so you know that people have to keep practicing to get better.
You can't even see the improvement. You might not notice it for weeks or months,
right?
Which for kids is really hard. So
right.
It also has to be fun, otherwise they won't come back.
Right.
Which luckily it is.
Yeah,
it's a game.
It's a game. Yeah.
So
that's the thing. So if we praise effort, we're more likely to encourage a growth mindset. Praise children for having a go. You know, even if they don't do it perfect, they're not going to do it perfectly first time. Well, that's great. You had a go. You know, what did you learn from that? You know, oh, I learned that if I did this, things would probably work better. Okay, do that then. Well, look at that. You've done better already.
I remember I had this boy in the team who was, in one team who was, he really didn't believe in himself. And we were trying to get people just to get the kids to just juggle with their feet. And he would throw the ball at his foot.
Right.
Like subconsciously trying to ensure that there was, well, I don't know what was going on in his head, but he was throwing it at his foot. And it was such a way that there's no way he could have juggled the ball.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to make him like, okay, just lob it. And I knew his old brother was quite skillful. So I thought, you know, talent tends to run in families. He should be able to do this. And he did. The first time he did it, lobbed the ball gently. He was able to kick it. And I was like, there you go. Mm. And I proved my point, but I didn't realize he needed, didn't prove it for him. That was just a fluke for him.
Right.
I didn't realize till ages later that I should have just kept going with it for over and over and over again.
Right.
Until he kind of proved it to himself as well.
Yeah.
Because somewhere there was a message in his life that he was no good.
Right. And that can, it could just be, you know, like a one-off comment or a remark or something that lodges in a kid's brain, you know, and sticks there.
I think he'd had quite a few.
Right. Well, if they have more than one, it's even worse. But, I mean, it could just be one, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
In education, so to encourage people to adopt a growth mindset by praising effort rather than the end result.
Yeah.
So praising effort and the progress and the process rather than, you know, innate intelligence or inherent intelligence. And then help students to build resistance by recognising that struggle and effort are part of the learning process. You know, I think people think that they're going to learn everything really quickly. I mean, as I say, I see it with adults on my practitioner trainings, and I go, well, have you learnt anything ever that you've only done just once? I mean, sometimes you might have fluked something and gone, wow, that's fantastic. Then you try and do it again. You can't because it was a fluke. So even as adults, people still think, you know, I should be able to do this because I've listened to what Stephanie said and I've watched her do a demonstration, and so I should be able to do it. But there's a big difference between, I made so many mistakes, you know, and you just got to keep practicing and learning until you get it right, and not give up and beat yourself up because you didn't get it right the first time.
Yeah, well, we say we're adults, but those lessons from childhood that we internalized about, you know, failure's not an option or whatever words you want to use,
yeah,
like if we're not consciously thinking about it like we are now,
yeah,
it's just still there, I think.
Right.
Yeah. We, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be sitting there in the background and causing, you know, beliefs about ourselves to influence how we think and what we do and what we achieve or don't achieve.
Yeah. So sometimes just a conversation like this might be enough for people. They're like, oh, yeah, I really have been beating myself up pointlessly.
Mm.
I should stop doing that.
I mean, just think something like driving a car. I mean, you know, that's something that most people, as they get, you know, I don't know, 16, 17, whatever.
16, yeah.
They want to drive a car. But if you look at, if you've been driving a car for a long time, it'll seem simple. You just get in the car and, you know, where are you going? Okay, we know where we're going. And everything happens automatically.
It is amazing because I've just a few years ago went through the process of teaching my girls to drive.
Right.
And I had to, like, a couple of times I just had to stop and think, what am I actually doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd forgotten what I did, like changing down into second gear, coming up to an intersection. It was a manual car.
Yeah.
What on earth was I doing? And I had to kind of watch myself do it one time.
Exactly. I just wrote an article about it last week about you know, the stages of learning and the idea that teaching somebody is a skill in itself, and that, you know, if you're going to teach somebody to drive, you have to go back to the beginner's mindset. Like, what was it like when you learned to drive? And, you know, I remember my dad, I think he took me out about three times in this bloody old car that had a terrible clutch. And my worst memory is the last time he took me out, I was driving back from my aunt and uncle, I think, with my dad teaching me. He was in the passenger seat. And I had to turn right to go to where we lived. And there's a big bend, you know, that, like a mile bend.
Yeah.
And I looked in the mirror and all I could see was traffic behind me.
Oh,
and
yeah, right.
Every time I went to turn, I'd stall it, you know, I was just beside myself, you know, my dad was raving at me. And in the end, an ice cream van stopped coming the other way and let me go, you know. So, but he was unconsciously skilled. He just did it, you know, and this is what happens. As we learn something, we forget how we learnt it because it's like it's too tedious to remember, you know, okay, you've got to take your foot off the gas and you've got to put it on the clutch and you've got to do this. You do it automatically.
You don't do it as well if you do that.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're learning, it's like that, though. Sometimes, you know, kids will even look at the feet to see which, you know, what they're doing. And then as you learn it, it becomes automatic. But if you think about it, driving a car, you have to use both feet, you have to use both hands, you have to use all your eyes. You've got mirrors inside and outside the car, you know, your blind spot. There's all these things that you have to remember, and you do it automatically now. And then somebody says, oh, can you teach me to drive? And you go, yeah, sure. And then they get in the car and they make mistake after mistake because you're not teaching them properly. You have to go back and figure out what you actually do.
And you certainly go, just drive it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not really helpful. But I tell you something about driving, though. That's no one doubts that they'll learn to drive.
Because there's a lot of motivation to do it.
There's a lot of motivation and everyone else drives.
And everybody else does
it. So it's not like these other things we go, oh, I'll never learn that, I can't do that. Yeah. Even though it's hard, and actually the first time you take your foot off the clutch and you stall the car, you're like, how on earth am I going to make that work?
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone learns it and everyone has faith that they're going to learn it.
Right.
Yeah, unlike almost everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
We just assume it will happen.
So it's a good analogy to use to say to people, like, do you drive a car? Right, okay, did you drive it the first time you got in the car? Because it looks, you know, if you're just sitting in the passenger seat, you look at the people doing it and you think, oh, it looks easy.
Yeah, it's all just happening nice and smooth. You know?
It's all happening nice and smoothly, exactly. And then when you get behind the wheel yourself, it's not that easy. But there's a lot of motivation to drive a car.
Yeah, well, you want to participate in society.
You want independence, you want freedom, you want, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it is, you know. There's a whole lot of motivation behind learning to drive a car.
Get away from the parents, generally.
Yeah.
It's the freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the freedom of being able to drive.
Yeah, and independence and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
if you can learn to drive, you can learn other stuff.
Well, you could learn just about anything because it's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably more complicated than learning to walk. That's pretty complicated.
Well, it's like learning to walk at the same time as doing things with your hands.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, how can we do here? So, in the workplace, let's talk about that. So, you can foster a growth mindset culture by encouraging continuous learning and improvement. So the last place that I worked in when I worked, didn't work for myself, we had that, you know, we were always sending people on courses, and then we did a course where everybody in the company went through this two-day program. And it was like, because a lot of the guys that I worked with didn't like to learn because they had really bad experiences at school, you know. So we're trying to expand their mindset so they look forward to learning things.
Did you succeed in that?
Yeah, I think we did. You know, that it became more, it was acceptable to make mistakes. You know, obviously you don't want to fry somebody on a power pole.
Yeah, there's times and places for not making mistakes, but exactly. For learning.
And then promote constructive feedback as a tool for growth and improvement rather than criticism when you've done it wrong, you know. So even with children, you can say, okay, so they might say, oh, I did it wrong and I'm not going to do it again. And you go, okay, well, how do you know you did it wrong? What did you do that was wrong? Oh, I did this and this. Okay, so if you did that, would that make it better? Yeah, okay, so let's have another go. So if you can do it that way. And then, you know, you're praising them for the effort. And there you go, you've done it now. So let's go through it and see if you can do it again, you know.
That's such a different approach to, again, it's like ingrained in our culture. Oh, here's what you did wrong. Like trying to discourage dads after Saturday morning soccer or rugby or whatever sport the kids play to not go and analyze. Because as adults, we can kind of handle it.
Mm.
We can kind of remove ourselves a little bit emotionally from the situation, but our little kids can't. And if dad's wanting to be helpful and analyze what they did wrong and say, oh, you did this wrong, that's different. It's really different to what you just did.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's a model for it. And there's not many models out there. Yeah. Like what you did is a model that people need to see more of, I think. Mm.
And ask him them what they did wrong, you know.
Yes.
That's the key thing. If they did anything wrong, or would you like to improve it? Where would you like to improve it? Well, I'd like to do this a little bit better, you know. Okay, so what do you think you need to do to make that a bit better?
So, and then you're building the patterns in their brains as well of growth.
Well, building patterns of thinking things through rather than just giving up.
Yeah.
You know, so... yeah, by asking questions, because at some level, usually we know the answer. We've just got to have patience and let people think it through and maybe give them a little bit of a hand to highlight it if they need it. But usually they'll find it, if it's okay for them to make mistakes. If it's not, then they're going to say, oh, no, I didn't make a mistake. Oh, I don't really like doing that anyway, when it might be something that I'd really love, but they've given up on it because they were told that we're doing it wrong.
You have to, with the kids in our culture, you have to work really hard to let them know it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like I made a big deal about, there was like the team talk, the first team talk when we got everyone together before you even started practice, was it's okay to make mistakes in this team.
Mm.
If you keep making the same mistake over and over again, we might need to have a conversation. But if you just tried something and made a mistake, you know.
In fact, you can even get kids to deliberately make mistakes.
That's a thought, actually.
And then they'll have a laugh at it. Okay, let's make another mistake.
Yeah, that takes the power away from it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what sort of silly mistake we can make.
Yeah. let's all make a mistake.
Yeah.
So then, in personal development, we've talked about this before about how people talk to themselves. You know, people's self-talk.
Oh yeah.
Or internal self-talk. So you can focus on effort and progress rather than what you did wrong, you know. So it's easy to go, oh, God, you know, I cocked up there, I did blah, blah, blah. It's
like, an idiot.
Yeah. And it's like, so that doesn't help, because then if you talk to yourself and tell yourself you're an idiot, then you're probably less likely to try. But you go, okay, I did that. What I did was stupid. So you could say... So you focus on the behaviour then rather than who you are as a person. So if you say, I'm an idiot, that's your sense of identity, right? But if you say, oh, that was an idiotic thing to do, or that was a silly thing to do, then that's focusing on your behaviour, which you can change.
That's a hard one. Like I've just talked about how I made sure I talked the right way around kids in sport, but when I'm by myself, I'll call myself an idiot. Quite often, it's like, even though I know, right? So I get it, and I still do it.
Yeah. And so if you do it and you notice yourself doing it, you can go, what I meant by that was a silly thing to do.
Rather than don't be an idiot, don't call yourself an idiot, because you're... it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, drive yourself nuts. Yeah. That was a silly thing to do. Okay, and then, like, what did I learn from doing that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I used to be exactly like what you're saying. I used to maybe ring a client up and I'd say something stupid and then I'd beat myself up for 3 days after. And then I'd go, in the end, I'd just go, no, okay, what did I learn from doing that? Well, I learned that, you know, if I say so-and-so, it's not going to go down well. I need to frame it in a different way or whatever it was. And then it's like, okay, then you can forget it and move on.
Yeah.
Because you've learnt it.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to mention, if you've just tuned in, we're talking to Stephanie Filt with our Inside Your Mind segment, and we're talking about fixed mindset versus growth mindset, the difference.
Yeah, yeah, the differences.
Yeah.
So encouraging, you know, positive self-talk, and if you must be critical, then focus on the behaviour rather than you as a person. And then setting incremental goals and challenges that challenge your abilities and promote continuous improvement. So you don't have to set a major goal to, last night I was listening to a guy who's called, what's he call himself? It's an Ironman. He did like 100 Ironmans in 100 days.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it. Was that a Rich Roll podcast you were listening to or something like that?
It was Joe Vitale last night. And this guy said, well, you know, that's not his main driver. His main driver is he wants to be a hero to his 5 children.
I think he can stop now. I think he might have done it.
But he said, you know, the people think, oh, you get lots of money. But he says, you know, you don't get heaps of money. You have to keep persevering and teaching others to persevere to get to do that, because they're massive, you know.
It's not quite the spectator sport like rugby or
no
cricket
no,
or,
no.
or in the US basketball.
Now obviously he's getting sponsored for it, and he's you know promoting all these charities and giving money away. But he said he doesn't want to be remembered for that. He wants to be the hero of his own children.
It's interesting where that takes you, isn't it?
Yeah,
that
it sort, is. Yeah. It is. And I don't know how old he was, but he didn't look that old to be doing that. You know, he looked like he might be. Because, I mean, I don't know how old, at what age you have to give it up, because it's it must be pretty strenuous on your body. I mean, even to do one, but to do 100. And then he went on and did some more.
James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboy.
That's it, the Iron Cowboy. Yeah, I knew it was something
Father
to do with
of five.
Iron. Yeah.
Early on, he was in such pain he blacked out, but pushed through one step at a time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He said he had he actually broke his back on number. I think he'd done 51, and he fractured. I think it was, I don't know, C5 in his back or something, and he still had another 49 to do, and he did them.
Oh my god! It's different strokes.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. So. Yeah, well, it was pretty inspiring. And he said he was inspired by Joe Vitale because he was one of the guys in The Secret and talks about, you know, visualising what you want and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so strategies to cultivate a growth mindset then. So
yeah, let's do them.
Reframe challenges. So view challenges as opportunities to grow rather than threats to your current abilities. So a reframe on mistakes, for example, is feedback or a learning opportunity. So rather than saying, oh, you know, I'll keep making all these mistakes, you could say, I'll keep having all these learning opportunities and feedback and opportunities to change. That's a reframe on you know, or failure even.
Yeah.
Embrace effort. Recognise that effort is the path to mastery and improvement. You don't get anywhere without effort. Learn from criticism. So learn to use feedback as a tool for learning and development. And, you know, I think that's easier said than done. So like you said before, if people are going, oh, you made a mistake and this is what you did wrong and, excuse me, that's not that easy. And so even being able to listen to people say that and not take it on board personally, but take it as feedback when it might not be constructive, because not many people know how to give constructive feedback.
No.
I only know how to tell you what's wrong.
Yeah, which we were talking about before.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're one of those people, then maybe you could learn how to give constructive criticism.
Give us an example, Stephanie.
So you could say to somebody, well, this is what I noticed. I noticed that you did this part really well and this part really well. And I think if you did this in the middle there, that you get a better result.
Okay.
For example.
All right, thank
you. So that means then you have to pay attention to what the person's doing so that you can guide them to do something better the next time.
Okay.
So then using feedback as a tool for learning. Because, you know, without that feedback, and just look at the term failure. So if somebody says, well, I've heard people say, I'm a failure. Not me personally, but they're a failure.
Yeah, so they say about themselves.
So
yeah.
that's then a statement of their identity. If they believe they're a failure, they're never going to try anything.
Well, they're going to self-sabotage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas if they can go, okay, you know, that's a statement about me personally, and we can go, well, again, look at toddlers, you know, they don't try and walk the first time and fall over and go, that's it, I'm a failure. I'm never going to walk that, you know, because if there was, then, you know, the odd person that managed to walk the first time would be pushing everybody else around in wheelchairs because they never learned to walk, right? But they're so determined, you know, because they've got models all around with their parents. You know, they'll fall over and bang their head and get great big lumps on the head from hitting the corner of the coffee table, and they still get up and have another go.
Yeah.
And it's quite complicated walking. They have to have exactly the right balance in order to move forward, you know, otherwise they just move backwards on the bum again, you know.
Well, some kids do that for quite a while.
Exactly.
But they all end up.
But they all end up doing it. Yeah. So if they had a failure mentality, they wouldn't keep going. It's only when we get to adulthood or, you know, we've got
a certain point in childhood. Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably obliterate the word failure from the English language, probably. Where was I?
Where were you?
Where was I? That's right. I've gone, jumped up a few pages.
Stephanie's got her phone with her notes on it.
With my notes on it. That's right.
Scrolling frantically.
setting goals. I've got my goal setting book out there if anybody is interested. It's at the iHub and it's at MAID across the road here as well. So reframe challenges as opportunities, embrace effort. So effort and practice is the way to get mastery and improvement. Learn from criticism. So I'll just call it feedback rather than criticism.
Yeah.
And celebrate growth. Acknowledge that you've actually move forward, even if it's only a little bit, you know, like you're learning something. Are you better today than you were yesterday? And I think that's another thing, is compare your own development with where you were previously. So this is another thing I find on my practitioner training, is people will do something and then they'll beat themselves up because they made a mistake, and then I'll say, well, how many times have you done it? You know, and I go, once.
Yes.
Okay, is it okay to give yourself a break? And what they're doing is comparing themselves with either somebody who did that particular exercise really well.
Yeah.
That person probably cock it up the next day, but that's okay, right? Or they're comparing themselves with me, who've been doing it for years, or Richard Bandler and John Grinder, who developed it in the first place, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just how they were 10 minutes before.
And they had the luxury, there was no one to tell them they were making mistakes.
No,
because they were just finding their way.
Each other.
They were finding their way. So there was no such thing as failure, it was just experimentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is experiment, see what works and what doesn't work. Just acknowledging your own progress, even if it's small. And then I've got an example. So I talked about Thomas Edison and his 10,000 ways of the light bulb not working. But Michael Jordan, you know, probably everybody's heard of him, one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
He attributes his success to his failures. Mm-hmm. He said he missed more than 9,000 shots in his career, and he embraced his failure as a lesson. So imagine if he'd have given up, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, beliefs of success are believing in yourself. Because I think the other thing that happens is we look back and we don't look at the successes that we've had to build our belief that we can achieve things in the future. The tendency is to go, well, I can't do this, so I'll just give up and do something else or not do anything at all, right? But if we look back, even just like I drove here today, so obviously I can drive a car.
There's a time you couldn't.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've written articles. There's a time when I couldn't write an article, you know. In fact, I've got 90 on the blog now, 90 articles. I did the 90th one last week. So everything that we can do, we can look back and go, well, at one stage I couldn't do that. You know, at one stage I couldn't walk because I was little and I was learning to walk. I couldn't dress myself at one stage, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't cook, you know. But all of these things, we improve. So look at the things that you can do, and I bet you when you look at those things, you'll go, yeah, well, I couldn't do it to start with, but I just persevered because it might be that I was particularly interested in it, or I had to do it for some reason or another to survive, like get a job and work at the job. So, yeah, so those are some things there. So having a belief in your ability to achieve what it is you want to believe. And then some NLP skills to help you do that. So reframing is changing the context or meaning of a situation that can give you a different kind of point of view. So an example is, you know, somebody might say, I hate when my mother tells people how I'm doing at school or at work. You know, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so a reframe on that would be, isn't it great that your mother's so proud of you?
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of flips it for the person. Or
sometimes that's not enough for some kids. You have to say, imagine if your mother wasn't proud of you. And they'd be like, okay. Yeah,
well, like, well, that's another way. You could say, well, imagine if your mother wasn't proud of you.
Yeah.
That's another example of the same thing.
Which would you prefer?
So things often people have, they'll say, oh, you know, I'm too lazy, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, or she's too this, or too that. It often starts like that. So you could say, oh, she's too aggressive. And so, well, you know, perhaps she's afraid of being hurt. Or, you know, I'm too lazy. Oh, well, perhaps you could teach me how to relax because I'm a bit uptight, you know.
Yeah.
So you could, when my friend turns up late, I feel annoyed and distracted. It could mean that your friends think you're flexible and comfortable with their time frames.
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, we did. We talked about time.
Someone who keeps time accurately thinks, and would never be late, would have to consciously make an effort to be late. That's what you did when you were late.
It was interesting. Yeah. Last night I was watching, I just wanted to watch something just before I went to bed to relax. And so I watched an episode of Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
And it was where Penny was having a Halloween party. And so they said, you know, can we come dressed up? And they went, yeah, you can dress whatever you like. So she says, what time is it? So it was 7 o'clock. So they turned up at 7:05. And she said, oh, well, you're early. And they go, no, it's 7:05. And she goes, yeah, but the party starts at 7. And she says, yeah, well, people usually take that as like a general thing. And, okay, well, come in because I need to have a shower. Because she hadn't had a shower. But she wasn't expecting people to turn up at 7:05 for a party that started at 7. And I thought, yeah, that was just typical, isn't it? And then another one is, you know, my boss never tells me when I'm doing well. He only tells me when I've done something wrong. It's like, well, maybe he's so used to you doing an excellent job that he feels that he only notices a few mistakes that you make.
Mm.
So it's just a twist on things. And then the other thing that people can do is to anchor positive states. So there's some, rather than trying to do it here in 5 minutes, is go to the website, insideyourmind.com, just search for anchoring.
Yeah,
and it'll tell you how to anchor yourself into a positive state. And then, you know, find out what some of these limiting beliefs are, because often identifying what they are will help you to reduce the impact that they have or even get rid of them altogether. Because they, you know, and so many people have got negative beliefs about learning that it affects their mindset, so that they really don't have a growth mindset.
Just about every question I've had has been around that.
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking of people going, oh, well, I can't.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. Yeah.
Okay. That's your. We've been talking to Stephanie Philpa, Neuro-Linguistic Programming Trainer Practitioner. Inside Your Mind is the name of this segment, and your business, and your website. Go to insideyourmind.com. There's articles about this?
Yeah.
Is that what you're reading from, or is that not your article?
This is probably going to be this week's article, part of this week's article. I started writing it yesterday.
Article number 91.
Yeah, it'd be 91.
Yeah, there we go. I was listening.
So you can just go on there and just put in whatever you put in anchoring, or you can search for the one last week about learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is quite interesting.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you for coming in, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me.